opposition?
We have no opposition. There are members of parliament from there, from Honorable Mare, that is here. There's no opposition. Everybody is together here. Maybe the opposition is on this side. Let's just do a quick round of introduction so that for ease of reference we can know who is here. My name is Fred Gona. I'm the chairperson of the portfolio committee. Next to me is
I'm not
a kind of car, committee secretary. No, I'm not a
member of the committee.
Robert Sotter, member of the committee. No, I'm not a member of the committee. No, I'm not a member of the committee.
I'm
Hi, Craig Smith. I'm the executive manager of the GSSA.
Hendrik Schmidt, member of the committee. Dirk Marais, also member of the committee.
Can we hear from you down in the corner? Right there. You come closer to your mic.
I'm Irene Puri from the parliamentary monitoring group.
I'm just observing.
Thank you very much. Madam.
I am the committee.
Madam on this side?
Lindy Mikwe from Petroleum Agency of South Africa. I'm an observer today, but I'm here to support the DNA.
Irene Throne, language practitioner.
Katam Key, the Acting Unions Manager, Committee Manager.
We summon PLO Mineral Resources.
Given our status, you have full counsel for your side.
Andre Andreas, Department of Mineral Resources. Matuani Ramagwede from the Council of Geoscience.
Kode Sesibuti for GMR.
Sister Makaveni, State Law Advisor.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, as we all are aware that we have a rather long day today, an involved day, because we need to do too many things at the same time. We would first listen to the department giving us responses to the inputs that were made through public hearings by various organizations pertaining to the bill. And they would also give us an amended version of the bill, if any. Thereafter, we will look at our own report in terms of adopting that report for it to go to the House so that we can meet the required target. And in all of that process, we will follow the due processes in terms of the adoption of the bill, where we will put it to the committee line by line. I think we do have a quorum, 2, 4, 6, 7, 8. we do have a quorum, we are able to then finish our business. Failure to complete this work today would necessitate that we come back here on Friday to handle whatever outstanding work is there pertaining to the bill. I hope that there will be no necessity for that. It will depend, of course, on the progress that we shall make. Just before we enter into the main business of the day, I would want to make this announcement that next week we will be listening to the department pertaining to the Taung community issue. In the, what do you call this, in the Z list, it appears there that we will also be discussing the oversight report. That will not be the case, honorable members, because that Taung matter alone is quite an involved issue, and as a result, we don't want to deny them, both the department and the Taung community, adequate opportunity to interact with us. And if we do have time, we have indicated to the department through the DG that after our engagement with them in the joint meeting with SCOPA, there have been some developments on the matter to an extent that we, a day or two, the Minister of Water Affairs announced that she had put together a team of experts to look at this problem of acid mine drainage with a view that they must make recommendations of what needs to be done and so forth. And linked to that work, you cannot discount the issue of ownerless and derelict mines. So as a result, we would want to hear from the department what work has been done so far in as far as that area is concerned. My own view is that we need to have a national summit which must bring all these players together, including us from Parliament, to look at this issue of the ownerless and derelict mines and also link it with this acid mine drainage problem so that under one roof we are able to work out the final solution to the lasting solution to this problem, because piecemeal arrangements are not going to assist the country at all. So we would want to next week ensure that the department walks away from here with that clear understanding that they must arrange that summit where us as parliamentarians will also be present. We will also extend maybe the invitation to Portfolio Committee on Water Affairs and Environment and any other, discipline that needs to be present, including the private sector, so that we all come under one roof and deal with this issue. So I'm just forewarning you so that you prepare yourselves that once we have dealt with the Taung issue, we then ask the department to appraise us of the developments on this issue. Even if they didn't come with something in writing, comprehensively, but just to say to us, how far have they moved? Who have they been talking to? Are these processes that we see in the public domain, linking the department? Are they in some way involved as mineral resources? So that we don't do one thing in one silo as mineral resources and then other departments are doing their own thing, separately. At the end, there would be no solution. So, having said that, I would give over to the department to take us through on their responses pertaining to the bill before us. Over to you, department.
Thank you, Chairperson. We will start by addressing the responses from the contents, the individuals and group. The first one is the Geological Society of South Africa, where the content was over the use
to bring your mic closer to you, or you closer to the mic.
The first one is the GFSA, where content overloads use of technology to undertake exploration and prospecting research. The response is that the Council for Geoscience will undertake exploration to attract investment into the country. The aim here is not for the Council for Geoscience to go and acquire mining rights and have its own mines, as this is under the exclusion in the Act. We are not allowed to do that. Also, we need to promote and encourage that previously marginalized communities have opportunity of participating in the mining industry. Secondly, the position of the Council as a watchdog over geotechnical reporting has rating concern over professional ethics. Now, we're saying the intention of the bill is not to grant professional ethics, but to ensure that development takes place under less risky circumstances. And also, the exclusion representation of professional and academic expertise by dropping the right to GFSA to nominate candidates to the board. This is addressed in Section 4.2, which makes provision for the minister to appoint a person with appropriate experience, expertise, or skill. It can therefore be used to appoint a member from the GFSA. And also another concern over lack of skills, capacity, and budget necessary for the Council to achieve the objectives of the bill. The response thereof is that Cabinet was informed that Council for Geoscience will need more funding to enable them to implement the Act. And also a budget will then be presented to the National Treasury. Furthermore, during the process of developing this input, we did have National Treasury participating in all our activities. They are aware of our needs. The nomination criteria of the board does not address the issues of relevant skills and expertise. The response is that board members need not necessarily all be geologists. The board must be comprised of different professions, accountants, lawyers, and others. There is a technical committee that advises the board on technical issues, of which the board does appoint other people to assist in the technical expertise. Also, the internal expertise of the CGS are available to assist the board. It will be an administrative process which will be addressed when the board is appointed in terms of nominations. Now come to SAIG, South African Institute of Engineering Geology. There, the first one, definition of the Council as a mandatory advisory authority may clash with the role of other advisors, as in certain instances lead to conflict, particularly when the Council does not have high-level expertise in certain specialized fields. A reference to mandatory has already been deleted throughout the bill, so that has been addressed. And a need for representative from the geotechnical fraternity in the board has already been indicated. Section 4.2 makes provision for the minister to appoint a person with appropriate skills. Expertise already proposed amendments to increase the number of to two persons. Concern over bridges confidentiality, a need to define the extent to which information can be made available, possibly of conflict with the Copyright Act. Confidentiality of information in the CGS is addressed by Section 6.2 of the Principal Act. Further makes the Section 8B further makes provision for the aggrieved to make any appeal against administrative decisions made by the Council for Geoscience. Already, if I may just elaborate a little bit, we do have quite a number of information from different organizations where we do agree that that is being kept confidential, and it is confidential after a term where it is agreed upon. The concern over a blanket mandate given to CGS. CGS will not be able to effectively carry out the mandate as envisaged in the bill, that is effective evaluation of geotechnical engineering reports with complex engineering designs already defined in guidelines and codes of good practice published by the professional bodies. The existing policies have proven not to be sufficient and therefore necessitated government intervention. The issue of capacity and skills in the CGS would be addressed so as to enable CGS to carry out its mandate. Now comes the National Union of Mine Workers. For the health and safety in the mining industry must be forced to develop advanced technologies to timely detect possible seismic events. The relevant act to address this issue is the Mine Health and Safety Act, which is also administered by the department. Already, a funded project between Mine Health and Safety Council and Council for Geoscience to address the problem it is in place. Now, the bill must make provision for procurement of adequate funding for the Council to achieve the objectives set in the bill. The response is that Section 20 of the Principal Act already provides for CGS funding. Furthermore, Cabinet was informed that CGS would need more funding to enable them to implement the Act. A budget will then be presented to National Treasury. This is for NHBRC. Lack of representation from the Department of Human Settlements or the NHBRC on the board. This noted representation will be made for an official from Human Settlement Department. The concern over the capacity of the Council if it is to review all geotechnical reports. Cabinet was informed that CGS would need more funding to enable them to implement the Act. A budget will then be presented to National Treasury. Again, the deletion of reference to Council as mandatory advisory authority. The word mandatory must be retained throughout the bill. The deletion of the reference to mandatory comes as an instruction from Cabinet Section 5.2F clearly stipulates that the CGS serves as the national advisory authority to local, provincial, and national authorities. Therefore, all reports submitted to these authorities must be assessed by the Council for Geoscience. Section 451G, unfair competition and creates a judge and jury scenario. Council must only concentrate on pre-feasibility investigations and mapping of some of same. Section 51G implies that the Council will focus on regional research programs intended to assist government in planning, especially municipalities. CGS will not focus on the site-specific investigations as they will be reviewing them. Such services will then be prescribed in the regulations. The confidentiality of information issue is addressed in Section 6.2, which allows restrictions on the use of information in the CGS custody. That's all on this section.
I think before we engage, because your broad responses talk to what you have done in terms of the actual amendments that you have requested, let's allow you to take us through those amendments so that when we engage, we can then cross-reference in terms of what you have been able to amend and what your responses are, so that we engage in the sum totality of your package.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. On the first page of the proposed amendment to the Geoscience Amendment Bill, we are amending the long title to remove reference to exploration as it relates to petroleum, and reference to petroleum. This will be deleted in the bill, throughout the bill. The reason being that there's already an agency that deals with petroleum issues, and this was an oversight from the department. On part one of the document, the first one removes the reference to exploration. As I've already said, that it relates to exploration, and we're deleting also the definition of petroleum because the CGS will no longer be dealing with petroleum issues. There was an issue raised during the hearings that the bill does not cater all the definitions of the words used in the Act, so we have inserted some of the definitions to address the concern that was raised. The second page also deals with the definitions inserted. On clause 2, we're removing reference to petroleum. Clause 3, we have added the first one, we have added one member of the board to address the concern raised by NHBRC that there must be at least a representative from the human settlement, so the number will now increase to 13. On number 17, 18, this is to amend section 4 of the bill, which deals with the board members. This is just cosmetic changes just to make it to read better. On clause 4, we are deleting subsection BA because it makes it this is reference to the petroleum. The next one, the production of petroleum, and 29 and 30 up until on the next page. And then on clause 5, there was an issue raised on page 6 of the bill, line 49. I will read it out. It used to say that notwithstanding the provisions of any other law, the council shall have the right to inspect any information of the Department of Mineral Resources which the minister or an officer of the department of the said department designated by the minister may approve on such conditions as the minister or the said officer may determine. There was a concern raised that the word inspection does not work well. And we agree, we are deleting the word inspection to say that the council will have the right to analyze and verify the information. This is information relating to the prospecting data that will be submitted to the CDS by the mining company. On page 6 of the bill, line 56, we are inserting the words in the prescribed manner. I will read it out to the members. It used to read, all geotechnical reports pertaining to infrastructure and development shall be submitted to the council. So we inserting the words in the prescribed manner, which will read, all geotechnical reports pertaining to infrastructure and development shall be submitted to the council in the prescribed manner. We think that it will make things a bit easier if the manner is prescribed in the regulations, the manner in which the reports are supposed to be submitted to the council. On page 7, line 33, we are deleting the word under and replacing it with the word in terms of. This is a cosmetic change for the better reading of the bill. On page 14, on clause 23, there was a concern raised at the public hearing that the subsection is too wide and does not provide for any form of protection to the landowner's rights. I will read it out. It said that the minister may issue a directive to authorize council officials to enter any land within the borders of the Republic of South Africa in order to execute the council's mandate, save where there is prohibition under any other law. We are inserting a new clause that will be a new subsection, which will be subsection 8, and it reads that the council official referred to in subsection 7 must, before entering the land in question, notify and consult with the landowner and or lawful occupier of the land. This is to cater for the life of the landowner or the lawful occupier.
Very well. Thank you very much. Honorable members, I think let's firstly engage generally and if you like, pinpoint specific areas that you would want clarity on and comments.
that you have, and it's open to note Honorable Schmidt for now. Over to you, sir.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Could I deal with a matter as raised by DMR in response to the concerns? My concern on the face of it is that the Council for Geoscience will undertake prospecting. And that's, if I understand the response of DMR correctly, Chair, CGS will undertake prospecting to attract investment in the country. Now, I'm just trying to establish on what basis the mandate of CGS is to do prospecting. We're not talking about exploration. We're talking about prospecting to encourage HGSA into the mining industry. Now, what's the purpose of, except for that last section, to encourage HGSA, but how does CGS intend dealing with prospecting? What does it intend dealing with those? Does it intend applying to the Department for Prospecting right? Does it? Because it says it will undertake prospecting, research at least. So is the emphasis on research, because the DMR response is it will undertake prospecting. So there's a bit of a difference. The second issue is the issue regarding ministerial discretion. Now, we see a return of more ministerial discretion where, let's say, the GSSA, I think it was the relevant body, had the ability to appoint its own nominee to the board, is now being replaced by a ministerial decision to decide who it wants on that board. It's, in my view, a step backwards instead of a step forward in terms of having representation from other institutions. In other words, you're taking away the right of other institutions to nominate its own members, which, on the face of it, seems to be a bit unfair. Now, the concern of a lack of skills, capacity, and budget, we've been dealing with underfundedness of not only CGS, but many other state entities for many years. The underfundedness of entities is not a new thing. It's come for decades. And it's always been so. So it's not a relatively new concept. I can't see how expanding the role of CGS, and by just justifying it by saying Cabinet was informed that CGS would need more funding. Can I put it to you this way? All departments indicate to Cabinet every year and every major budget that it needs more money. And I don't need to tell you what the consequences have been. I mean, it's been probably, if you're lucky, you get an increase, a marginal increase in terms of its inflationary prospects. But that's about where it stops. So I do not see in that the golden bullet for expanding the service of CGS in the extent to which you indicate in this document. Except if there's anything more tangible which the minister is undertaking, or rather Treasury is undertaking, that they will give you more funding. But a statement like that in itself does not take the matter, my view, any further. I'm just looking at the last thing. The confidentiality of information. I understand that there's a necessity to have a national database of information. Could I just understand what the current arrangements are with regards to the keeping of that information, what's the word I'm looking for, not secret, but keeping it confidential. What are the current arrangements? What kind of term are we looking at? Or is it an agreement solely based on between the individual or the company that brings the information and CGA, or is there a fixed term in terms of information that is brought to the Council of Geoscience will be kept confidential? Thank you.
Would you care to react to those for now?
Thank you, Chair Patton. When you look at the prospecting research, firstly, as I already indicated, CGS is not intending to go and apply a license. If we just explain a little bit, at the moment, South Africa is not carrying out grassroots exploration as it is expected to be. The minister already indicated that when she was in Canada, he realized that South Africa is no longer in the limelight where it used to be previously. Hence, there was a session where we had a mining Indaba where we were discussing how can South Africa's position be regained. And in that matter, grassroots exploration was raised as a concern. And when you look at it, in South Africa right now, there's no research which is happening so that people may understand the type of ore deposits which are there. And also, how can one then apply new technologies to go and look? CGS, as a government institution, needs to take the lead in doing that, because if government does not do that, other countries are doing it. For example, I can tell you, Australia and Canada have already realized that, well, they need to do that, they are doing it. In Canada right now, there are the TV valves where the Hudson Bay Northern used to mine nickel, oxygenic massive sulfur deposit, copper, lead, zinc, nickel, and some gold and silver for over 85 years. Everybody thought that area is finished, they're no longer going to find any new mines. What the Geological Society, Geological Survey of Canada, together with universities, they looking into different ways of addressing that. And I can tell you, no less than 12 new mines have been discovered. Australia was also in a similar situation where they said lots of exploration money is being invested in the country, yet they're not discovering any new mines. And then Geoscience Australia was tasked with a clear task of going out to find new ways and new methods where we can now find new mines. At the end of it, they came to a point where they could say, here's $1 million to you, go and drill at this point, you are going to find a mine, and indeed you do that. That's what we're looking at. We need to do for South Africa as well, so that South Africa might be back in where it belongs to be. And looking at lack of skills and capacity and budget, yes, indeed, if you don't have money, you won't be able to attract skills. So you need money to be able to attract. And also we need money to invest more in young scientists to be trained and grow. Hence, bursary, they also need to be factored into that. And developing people, working together, also bringing more students from the universities. That's where capacity will come from. And confidentiality information, the arrangement in the moment, what we have, different mining companies, they do give us information. And some we do agree that, well, this will be kept confidential for a term period. After that term, then the confidentiality is what, with the arrangement agreement of the individual. But come to board representation.
Thank you, Andrew. I think with the board representation, we did address it extensively, but just for the benefit of Honorable Smith, who might not have been present, is that what the DMR has found is that if you have a situation where the board is constituted of members who do not necessarily share the same objectives of the greater members of the board or of government, the goals and objectives of government, you might face a situation where the board faces paralysis in terms of meeting its objectives, and the council is then altered from meeting its objectives because certain members are obstructed in the way they go about doing their business, and the Council for Geoscience or whatever other SOE is unable to achieve its mandate as it's supposed to be in terms of the legislation that it's based on. So the discretion is largely to ensure as well that the board representation is not limited to two institutions, but that the minister has the discretion to attract people with, as is provided in the bill, with the appropriate skills and experience to add value to the functions and objectives of the board, without necessarily limiting the scope of the minister to a particular institution. So the minister will have the discretion to seek or appoint someone from a university, for instance, who, as long as that person has the appropriate skills and experience to add value to the board. That is what we are looking at, instead of limiting the minister to appointing someone from or accepting nomination from a particular organization. I think that is what the thinking behind the new amendment is. Maybe I should just add on the funding, if I may, Chairperson. Throughout the process,
since we started working on this bill, we've been fortunate enough that we secured the attendance of a very senior official from National Treasury that attended all the consultation processes and was made acutely aware of the challenges in terms of the funding that the Council for Children's Science is experiencing and what the financial implications of the additional functions as outlined in the bill is and what that would mean. We do accept that the Cabinet does receive a lot of memoranda where, you know, the financial implications are indicated, that we accept. But safe to say that Treasury is acutely aware of the budgetary implications. We did attach as well to the Cabinet memorandum a very detailed breakdown for the 3 years in terms of the Public Finance Management Act as it's expected, in terms of what the financial requirements of the Council for Children's Science would be. Treasury is also aware, and there is, as we speak, a process underway where the Council for Children's Science is meeting on a regular basis with National Treasury to try and address the issue of funding for the Council.
Is that all the questions, responses to the questions asked? Okay. Any other questions, Honorable Schmidt?
Yes, Mr. Chair, maybe, you know, my biggest concern, let me put you what's my biggest concern, and maybe I haven't put it in the right way. My biggest concern is the allegation, and, you know, I'm not a geologist, I'm not a geotechnical advisor, and, of course, I'm not an employee of CGA. But the allegation has been that, and it's more in particular also dealt with in the one of the respondents and the response by the DMR, saying that it creates a judge and jury scenario. I'm not sure whether it does or it doesn't. That's my concern, because it's clear you're now involved in prospecting research. It's clear that statutory or bodies involved with Council for Geoscience at least have made that allegation. And I'm not sure that it has been dealt with sufficiently by CGS to convince at least myself that it will or it won't be in competition, because it's come very close in terms of prospecting research. It's come very close in terms of DMR saying prospecting, and you've already said you won't apply for a license, so I take it won't be commercial trading in prospecting licenses as such. So you're not embarking on commercial mining activity. But having clarified that, there seems to be a response, and this over section of that allegation which seems to be dealt with or needs to be dealt with to indicate CGA is not going to compete with the private sector in terms of being a judge and a jury, as raised in your own DMR's response, at least to the concerns by NHBRC. If you could deal with that, just indicate why you won't be in competition with the private sector or where you will be.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. That was raised by the engineering geologists who felt that they don't want to see Council for Geoscience doing site-specific investigations for setting up an infrastructure. I can tell you Council for Geoscience is not doing that. What Council for Geoscience will be doing is looking at regional investigations where the municipality would like to declare a zone for residential activities, bigger area, Council for Geoscience will come and do the broad investigation and then say this place is suitable for that type of development which needs to take place. Then whoever wants to put up an infrastructure will come and do the site-specific investigation. That's what we're saying.
Does it mean that you're adding an additional step to the process? In other words, we would have a site-specific investigation done by a private company looking at whether you could erect, let's say, homes in this particular earth. You would now say, in general, this area is not suitable to be zoned residential, it's only suitable to be zoned farming or rural, whatever the fact may be. I'm just trying to understand what you're saying.
thank you, Chairperson. Where we think we'll be looking into regional areas where we come with a risk development plan to assist the planning activities of government. However, there might be cases where government will say we want CGS to we'll be digging into building RDT houses, the area we need to know. Then we'll go there and investigate what needs to be done. And also, the Council for Geoscience will do research in order to understand what it is that's happening in that area. Because without doing research, we cannot just say, now we know what's going on. We need to be an informed client as to what's happening.
Maybe to further illustrate the point, you need to, you know, explain to us on two issues. One is in the Principal Act, this clause 5, subsection G, has been there. Not a new. Hey, can we take off, can we switch off our cell phones, please? It's not a new amendment. It is there in the Principal Act. But then, take us through, has there ever been problems in relation to you implementing this provision of the Act? Because then I think that will then satisfy us. Because if it's not a new amendment, therefore let's see what has been the experience. But two, the incidents that have occurred in both Kutsong and Mirafoma, where the state has to now incur huge expenses in terms of relocating those communities, where the development has taken place, and there have been investigations, there have been recommendations by the existing professional bodies prior to the establishment of those townships. And upon inspection by human settlement, those developments have been approved. But yet, down the line, it has been proven that they are built on dogmatic, fettered land. And therefore, the extent of the role that has been played by the private sector professionals vis-a-vis the need for such an intervention by government through the CGS. So maybe on those two counts, maybe it will clarify our minds that yes, there will be no clash or competition because this has been there in terms of the experience that you have. And secondly, around the element of the practical problems that we did pick up and hear, and hence the need for the amendments on this Act. Let's just respond to that first, and then we note Honorable Matibele and Honorable Khulu.
Thanks, Chairperson. Yes, indeed, Section G in the Principal Act, that's 5G, who says conduct investigations and render specialized services to public and private institutions. We never had any problems with that. Nobody has ever raised any concern. In fact, in this, nothing has been changed. Well, it's been there. Now, coming to issues of Kutsong, yes, that's a real big problem, challenge for government, Chairperson. Of which, indeed, consultants or private investigators were brought in to investigate the land, and then eventually the township was developed. Now there are problems because it has to be relocated, and this is going to cost the state billions of rand to do that. Now, if CGS or government is not having a way of addressing that, ensuring that it does not continually incur such massive costs, there's going to be a problem for the state. Hence, if CGS is given the opportunity to go and make sure that the things are properly done, we understand the area, and then advise government properly then that will be able to resolve the situation.
Very much, Honorable Motivella.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want to know what causes dolomite areas. And the other one, I think I'm a bit covered because I wanted to know if the research was not done in Kutsong and so on. And how long has this been going on of lack of skills? Did the CGS do the researches previously or not? I mean the skills. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Khululu.
Thank you very much, Chair. My question actually is almost related to your question. But in this case, I don't know if you've been watching news recently, I think yesterday, whereby there are developers who buy land, and that land belongs to the state. And it has been discovered that that land is supposed to go back to the state. And yet, developers have already built houses, and people have bought those houses. So now, my question in that instance is that, do CGS, for instance, try to verify if, for instance, those developers, they will call CGS to come and say, okay, we want to build houses or some projects around that area. Do they also verify that that land has been acquired legally, and who is the owner of the land? Do you get my question, Chair? Yeah, that is the question. Thank you very much.
Okay. Would you care to respond to those for now?
Thanks, Chairperson. First question on what causes dolomite. Dolomite is a rock which is laid down under chemical processes, which is mainly composed of the limestone, which was then changed, cooked, and then under high pressure, and then became a dolomite. That dolomite, if one puts acid on it, it dissolves. And under conditions where lots of water goes through underground, it forms cavities. Like in areas where we do have caves, that's where we do it with that dolomite. And during the process, the cavities will form, and then close again by soil is covered. Within those cavities, you also do have water in there. And if one does not understand exactly where those sinkholes are, those cavities called sinkholes are, and you just go and start developing, putting a structure on that place, it becomes a big problem. For example, in Centurion area, there's one suburb which is really high-class people are staying there, where all of a sudden, in the morning when they open the door, they see a big hole just in front of them, which means whoever agreed did the investigation then did not do a proper job. And then you can imagine if a person has already spent R1 million buying the property and developing, all of a sudden, boom, a big hole. It's a big problem. Even the mining industry themselves, where Driefontein mine, which one day the shaft and the crusher disappeared into a hole. Until today, nobody knows where it is because of all these effects. These are very serious matters which need to be addressed. And now, coming to the issue of skills, yes, CGS has always been an institution of government which trained geologists in doing the work. up to a point where you find that the majority of those consultants who are out there are the product of the Council for Geoscience. So what we need to do is to continue building skills capacity within the country so that work needs to be done. The turnaround, they say CGS does not have capacity, it's not necessarily true. Capacity is there. It's just that when we increase the volume of work, we will need more people to do that and also continue training. That's what we need to do for the country. Coming to the land issue, CGS does not really participate in the purchase of land and addressing changing of land ownership. However, right now the agreement with the NHDRC and also the municipality of Tshwane is that whoever develops in an area which has got dolomite, they need to first of all come to the Council for Geoscience, and then we look into the report and say yes, we're satisfied that what they've done will address the safety of the structure that needs to be erected, and then they pass. But at the moment, we're only dealing with a few municipalities who are proactive because there is no law which says this should happen. Where when infrastructure is being built, developers are going on without coming to Council for Geoscience, then posing risk to the communities out there.
In fact, it was not about the dolomites in this case. In fact, it was not about the dolomites in this case. The question that I was asking was about it's about illegal land that developers that put on structures there, which they are not supposed to put up structures.
If I may,
if it's within your competence.
No, it's certainly not within our competency. I see that from the report that we've been receiving, Chair, it would appear that the Department of Human Settlements and the Rural Development and Land Reform, the deeds office, those are conveyances who are involved there. They would normally analyze and verify the information that they receive before registering a particular sale with the deeds office, so it's not something within the competency of either the Council for Geoscience or the Department for Mineral Resources. It's something that's within the competency of another national department.
Thank you. Honorable Sonto, Satati Mandate. Looking at the scenarios that have compelled government to take the step or the direction that we are in now, the pending acid mine water is one of the calamities that came about in the presence of all these geotechnical institutions being here in the state, not advanced in the state. Kutong is another example where, as the state, we are about to incur into such monstrous costs. Yes, we have institutions that could have advised us as government, which they did not. Now, how long are we going to be sleeping as government and not looking at possibilities of having our own as government, our own advisors? Looking one at whether we are doing the correct
infrastructural development and on a safe and balanced soil. Two, whether in the country we have the mineral resources that would deal with one of those issues that have made us to be where we are. One, we're dealing with poverty. We are said to be the most, one of the richest countries in minerals. Yet as government, we don't know. That knowledge is sitting somewhere with independent geotechnical entities. Is that the situation that we are going to govern under? I really don't know what's happening here. Now, I hear the presentation and the bill seeking to address that anomaly, and therefore the explanation given to me is satisfactory. Thank you very much.
Honorable Makakulu. Thank you, Chair. And Chair, mine is very short. I'm tendering to move for the adoption of allowing the bill to go on to the cabinet.
No, reserve that. We will come back to that. You've taken care of the questions raised. I think the comment raised by Honorable Sonto, you would respond to that. But one issue that I want to check is on first page of your amendments, you seeking to remove the term exploration. You are doing that as well in clause 4. But yet, in terms of the objectives of the bill, the term exploration is still retained. I didn't follow you quite well in terms of the explanation that you had given. Why would you seek to expunge this particular reference? I can understand maybe in terms of the definitions that it doesn't fit in one, defining one particular term. But then in the main body of the bill, you also are seeking to remove that reference. Again, in the bill, page 7, right at the top of page 7 of the bill, there's a formulation there which I thought I understand it otherwise. That's subsection B, where you are substituting paragraph A of the following paragraph. Undertake any mining development for itself. Maybe if you could end and then it goes on. Maybe I would have to cross-reference with the main act, but it's something that I would want you to take us into your confidence on. And on the amendment under clause 3, point 26. Where you say on page 4 before line 50 to insert the following subsection, and you have not mentioned the section. I'm not sure what section is that, because immediately after that you move directly to clause 4 of your proposed amendment. Can you take care of your including the issues raised by Honorable Soto.
Thank you, Chair. I will start to deal with the issue of exploration. This is simply to align the Geoscience Act with the MPRDA, the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Act. The MPRDA, when it talks of minerals, it talks of prospecting, but when it talks of petroleum, it talks of exploration. So exploration is related to petroleum and prospecting to minerals. That's the reason why we're removing exploration. And on page seven,
but in the objects of the bill, you're still retaining that term. If you look at the bill itself, to amend geoscience itself, blah, 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 to be a national advisory authority, geoscience-related infrastructure and development, and to undertake exploration and prospecting research.
It's an omission, Chair.
It will be removed as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't have a copy of the MPRDA here, but I seem to recall that exploration is an activity which you may commence with before you conduct prospecting activities. In other words, if, for example, you want to establish whether there is, for instance, iron ore in a particular area, you can fly over that area. There's all kinds of different methods available. And that would, in my view, if I understand correctly, be exploration activities and not prospecting activities. So subject to going back to that act, I'm sure you can explore or conduct exploration activities in regards to minerals as well, but just confirm that. Okay?
Thank you, Chair. I suppose you can do exploration on minerals, but in terms of the MPRDA, the ones of flying over, that is called the reconnaissance permission, not the exploration. In the MPRDA, petroleum is related to exploration and the minerals to prospecting, but the flying over is called the reconnaissance permission.
For the benefit of the member, let's read the MPRDA, the definition. Exploration area means, I'm quoting the MPRDA now, exploration area means the area comprising the block or blocks depicted in an exploration or production right. That's now exploration area. Exploration operation means the reprocessing of existing seismic data, acquisition and processing of new seismic data, or any other related activity to define a trap to be tested by drilling, logging and testing, including extended well testing of a well with intention of locating discovery. That's now the exploration operation. I think your understanding seems to be finding expression in this definition. I think we need to clarify and re-clarify ourselves so that we don't remove it unnecessarily, but if we have to remove it, so it would it be. I'm reading page 12, that exploration operation, unless it is defined elsewhere. Can you refer us to a section, maybe?
Can I also read to you the definition of what reconnaissance operation is? It's also in the MPRDA. It's defined as means any operation carried out for or in connection with a search for a mineral or petroleum by geological, geophysical, and photogeological surveys. I think that's what the honorable member was referring to. And includes any remote sensing techniques, but does not include any prospecting or exploration operations. So the reconnaissance is the surveys, the what you would do from a flight over all those, does not actually refer to exploration.
If
you look at the aerial surveys, yes.
The end,
Chair, you look on the HRDA, Chapter 4, talks, it's a chapter covering mineral and environmental.
What page is
that? The Chapter 4 is on page 22. It talks of mineral and environmental regulation. Throughout this chapter, you will not find exploration. You only find prospecting. And on page, on Chapter 6 of the Act, which is page 64, it talks about petroleum and production. That's when you start finding the weight exploration on the petroleum section. But on the mineral section, you won't find any petroleum. Page 64 is where the petroleum section starts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what is it that you are seeking to address here?
We concede that we need to remove the exploration from the objects of the bill, as per your suggestion, because exploration is linked to petroleum, and not to the activity of minerals. That, of minerals, you do a reconnaissance operation by the flying over, and then you do prospecting. So exploration is not it's only linked to the petroleum industry, and therefore there is no need to retain the word exploration in the objects of the world. That is weak. We agree with you, with yourself.
Would we then deal with the term reconnaissance, or is it dealt with in the Principal Act of Sciences, or is it not there at all? Because you need a legal basis to enable you to do exactly what you say you would want to do, so that down the line, if you are challenged, then you can make reference back to the legal framework that enables you to do that. So I'm checking with you whether in removing that term, exploration, do you have another expression in the form of, for instance, reconnaissance that you are referring to in the MPRDA being captured in the Principal Act. If not, is the Principal Act referred to? Does it make reference to the MPRDA? So that you then have a legal basis for you to can be able to undertake the work that you think you are. We can give you an opportunity to clarify your minds, because we don't want an answer that would most probably not assist us. I'm sure the other members of your team, meanwhile, will be looking at this matter. When we break for tea, apply your minds to this and then respond to us. Meanwhile, respond to what Honorable Sonto has raised. Areas that I have faced.
Sir, on page 7, it's the prohibition, page 7 of the bill, it's prohibition on mining development. This subsection, if read together with the Principal Act, it will say that the council, they may not undertake any mining development for itself. It's a prohibition on the CDS not to undertake mining.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Sonto did clearly indicated that there's a problem in the country. That's why we must start with the derelict and honorless mines and also exit mine drainage. It is true. And the state now will be forced to spend money, which if we look forward, which will be no less than 30 billion rand to address the situation. And because that was not addressed by those who were mining and who were supposed to have done it, this is a challenge for government. And also looking at Kusong, yes, it is a big problem right now, because government has to come up with money again and relocate the people
who were endangered by living in an area which is not safe, where their structure can just disappear at any moment. And hence the necessity that all these things need to be addressed so that government is looking after its own citizens and also does not keep on spending resources, wasting resources unnecessarily.
This is that other matter on clause 3, the last sentence, 26.
That it will be deleted.
So you would delete that?
Yeah.
Honourable members, any other questions? Honourable Schmidt?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I've looked at the bill again. Let me just explain to you more detail my concern I have. The Council of Geoscience acts as an institution for the private sector and the public sector. I think I'm correct so far. The Act initially provided for representation from, if you look at page 4 of the bill, paragraph 2-5, initially it relates to one shall be a person who is involved in the mining industry and was nominated by the Chancellor of Mines. 6 says one shall be a person involved in geoscientific education or training and was nominated by the GSSA. One shall be a person, 8, one shall be a person with knowledge or experience, mineral activity, and shall be nominated by an industrial development corporation. So what you're basically doing is you're removing all the representation from either private sector and the IDC as far as the state-owned entity or state is concerned, to being a purely state organ in terms of its structure. And that is a bit of a concern because you're serving both sectors. But you are determining by virtue of the minister who will be the board without any input on the face of it from either the mining chamber or the GSSA or the IDC. So it's that trend which is my concern because, you know, It should be at least at the worst be left as it was, because then at least you have buy-in from at least GSSA, the mining, Chamber of Mines, and the IDC in that particular instance. That's basically my concern in terms of the board structure.
Would you care to respond to that? Again, I think the whole notion of referee and player comes back, but now in a different form. But we're in our hands. Just take us through. Because I'm just applying my common sense that those who are regulated want to regulate in this instant. But explain. Maybe my understanding is not accurate.
Thank you, Chairperson. If we look at this paragraph 20, number 7, it says one shall be a person who is involved in commerce. That is not taken out. It's there. They're just only mentioning from which institution. So when the minister appoints, we'll still ensure that there will be a person involved in commerce and also those who have got technical know-how in the field. Also, as we have already indicated, that even...
Okay, which paragraph is it?
Subsection 7.
One of your system is involved in
We soon increase that number there to 2 persons. So it's with the necessary expertise and experience.
writing to the minister from which institution those two experts will come. That's the only difference. That the two persons will still be there to add value with the necessary experience, expertise, and skill. The only difference is that we are not telling the minister who, from which organization those two persons shall come. So she may still go to the Geological Society of South Africa and also to the South African Institute of Geological Engineers if she so wishes.
All right. Further comments? Okay. At this juncture, I think the tea is ready. Mull the responses through over the tea. We will get that last response, and then from there we will move forward. Let's take, I'm tempted to say 5 minutes, but realistically 10 minutes tea break, please. Let's get the response from the department on last outstanding issue, and then we move.
Thank you, Chair. After some extensive consultations and instructions from our colleague from Council for Geoscience, if you look at the new, at the latest version of the proposed amendment to the bill, you will see that exploration has been removed from the preamble, and it no longer appears there. It just says undertake prospecting research in the mineral and petroleum sectors and to provide for matters connected with therewith. In the objects of the council, we strongly believe that exploitation should be retained in that context because it gives impetus to the attracting investment and promoting South Africa as a mining destination of choice. So we need to retain that exploitation under the objects of the council. It's exploitation and exploration. But we do agree with the chairperson earlier comments that we need to formalize work that is already currently being done by the council in terms of the reconnaissance work, the aerial photography that they are currently. I'm reliably informed that is already work that they are currently undertaking. The aerial geological surveys and related activities that they are doing via the use of helicopters and aircraft, other related aircraft. So I think the suggestion that we retain that we insert reconnaissance in the preamble, I don't think it can hurt. It will further formalize the work that the Council of Geoscience is currently doing, and give it further strength in its mandate in terms of what it is expected to do. That, I'm informed, is work that is already being done by the council. Thank you, Chair.
So you would provide for it under the main objectives of the deal? Where is that? Are you going to provide for that recognizing?
We will provide for it under the functions of the council, section 5, subsection 1H, which reads undertake any reconnaissance operation and prospecting research activities. Section 5.1H, Roman figure 3. Undertake any reconnaissance operation and prospecting research activities.
Well, in the preamble, Chair, we will also have to define what reconnaissance means. So that will be another insertion. We'll have to define. It won't be much different from what is currently in the MPRDA.
Just for clarity, Chair, this reconnaissance, is it when it's an aerial survey, you say, are they able to check under the soil what is there when they are up there?
Yes, the idea is to pick up any body which has got physical properties up to a depth, you can go up to 2 kilometers underground using latest techniques.
That's a follow up on this one.
No intimidation. Allow the member to speak his mind.
Is that the latest technology or it has been there for a long time?
Thank you, Chairperson. Technology has always been there, just that the improvements where we use new technologies.
Second, Mr. Chair, I agree with the inclusion of reconnaissance operation because that's basically what you're doing at the moment, and I don't think the bill is provided for it. But is there a difference between prospecting activities and prospecting research activities? If there is, shouldn't the Council for Geosciences be limited to prospecting research activities? I'm asking.
Care to respond to that?
There is no difference in doing those.
Because what I'm asking, if you look at 5.1.H.3, it refers to reconnaissance operation and prospecting research activities. If you look at the on page 3 of the book, the definitions, it says prospecting means prospecting as defined in section 1. So if you read that, there seems to be a difference between prospecting and prospecting research activities, because it is referred to as such in 5.1.H.3. And, you know, I haven't had the time now to check everywhere where there's difference between prospecting activities and prospecting research activities. But I think we might just check that if we do so, we do so constantly with reference to the one or the other. Or if there's a difference, do so with that difference in mind.
What are you reading? Are you reading from the main act in terms of the definition?
I'm reading in terms of this Geoscience Amendment Bill, which was then amended by this document, but from this document itself, the bill.
Mm.
If you look at page 3 of it, K, on page 3, the definition, it says, by the substitution of the definition of prospecting, by the following definition, prospecting means as determined in the MPRDA. So you have the phrase prospecting being used. Not a prospecting research activity, a prospecting activity. I don't see prospecting research activity at least included in this bill. So what we have on page 5 of this bill, 5.1.H, where we've now amended in exploration to be deleted and replaced by reconnaissance operation and prospecting research activities. And now my question is, and I've really asked the question, if there's a difference, and there's no difference between prospecting and prospecting research activities. But the use of the terminology seems to denote something else. It's prospecting, or it's prospecting research activities,
because you are including the definition of the MPRDA, which carries with it a certain meaning, a whole legalistic importation into the Act. But you speak in the book of prospecting research activities, while prospecting in itself does not refer to prospecting research activities. That concept is a foreign concept to the MPRDA, except if, you know, there's some other explanation for it.
I suppose, Chairperson, the idea is it's merely a drafting style. You can either say prospecting and activities related thereto. You don't want to limit the Council for Geoscience to only doing prospecting. There are some activities that are closely related to prospecting, which they will nonetheless have to do. An example was just dealt with now and was raised by the chairperson, the reconnaissance. You need to make provision for that, and I think that is what that clause is seeking to address, that there are activities that are closely related to prospecting that are not necessarily as defined in the MPRDA, but are related to that.
Someone is going to look and say, but what does prospecting research activities mean? Where's the definitions? You're going to see prospecting definition, but you're not going to see prospecting research definitions, which denotes a concept.
I note Honorable Dexter. I note the state law advisor. Please, come in, Honorable Dexter.
Chair, it seems to me that the idea is, if I understand the bill, that you want to say prospecting and all activities that relate to that. Not limited to research, reconnaissance, and so you need wording along those lines.
State law advisor.
I was going to point out, Chairperson, that prospecting is not only used in the Act or in the bill only when it relates to research. It's also used when it relates to prospecting for mining and prospecting information. So there are a number of instances where you use prospecting. So if we only want to limit it to research activities, it will create an anomaly. Research activities, you will have a dictionary meaning of research and activities. That's what will be used when you use it in connection with prospecting.
Maybe let's look at two things. One, I think you've sufficiently defined prospecting when you make cross-reference to the MPRDA. Let's live with that. And then on this paragraph, in order to be absolutely clear in terms of Honorable Schmidt, we need to be making reference to prospecting and related activities, and then remove the research. I think also the state law advisor is alluding to that, that we don't limit it to that. So it takes out any possible ambiguity in that event. Can that be accommodated in that fashion? All right. Honorable Sondra? Good. Anything else, honorable members? Okay. Then let's take the bill steadily, now that we have discussed it broadly and had an understanding. Let's navigate point by point. Yes.
On page 3 of the main bill, the word minister means the Minister of Minerals and Energy Affairs. Is that correct? On line 25.
It's deleted the Energy Affairs.
Oh, it's deleted.
Yeah, it says means the Minister of Mineral, and then they included resources. Okay.
For the honourable members,
hope that you all have your bills before you, and you have this amended version, and we now going to go through. In terms of the actual amendments that we are dealing with. In dealing with the bill, firstly in the preamble, we will put it to you that to amend the Geoscience Act 1993 so as to mandate the Council for Geoscience to be the custodians of geotechnical information, to be a national advisory authority in respect of geohazards related to infrastructure and development, and to undertake reconnaissance activities and prospecting research in the mineral and petroleum sectors, and to provide for matters connected therewith. Agreed? Any objections to us adopting that amendment? All right. Honorable Schmidt?
Mr. Chair, could I just indicate before we have to indicate every time that we won't be taking any decision whether to support or to object to the bill at this point in time. We'll leave it to caucus tomorrow and then decide whether to support or object to the bill. So without repeating this every time and wasting your time, that is basically our position. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, but we'll have to follow the due process. We'll read each sentence with the understanding that that goes for both of you from the DA, that the DA will take the matter to its caucus, and that would not prevent us from passing the bill. Okay.
If you have the quorum, that's fine.
No, we do. No, we do. Okay. Yes.
Chair, I think in what you just read now, you need to remove petroleum, mineral sectors, and you need to exclude the petroleum. Research in the mineral sector.
Oh, yes, you are right. Research in the mineral sector and remove petroleum. All right. We remove the term exploration and the term petroleum. Okay. Agreed. Then the second proposal is on section 1. In section 1 of the bill, of the Geosciences Act, by amending A, by the substitution of the definition of chairman of the following definition, we delete the term chairman, replace it by the term chairperson, means the chairperson of the board appointed in terms of section 4. Agreed? Any objections?
Agreed.
Agreed. Now, we'll always note the objections from, which are not objections per se, from the DA.
A statement,
yes. Great. Thank you very much. You've assisted us in that. The following one would be B, by the insertion after the definition of chairman of the following definition, chief executive officer means the person appointed in terms of section 18 as the chief executive officer of the council. Any objections? Agreed?
Agreed.
C, by substitution of the definition of discovery or the following definition. Discovery means a technological or scientific discovery, including a discovery of a mineral deposit. Agreed?
Agreed.
D,
by the substitution for the definition of executive management committee of the following definition. Executive committee means the executive committee of the board, referred to in section 15. Agreed? E, by the deletion of the definition of the executive officer. Agreed? I think Honorable Marais is amused by this process.
Yeah, I'm also a bit amused, but can I suggest, because normally, well not normally, but sometimes the process is used where a section in total, let's say section 1 is put to the committee and said, do you agree with amendments contained in section 1? I don't mind because it gives us another opportunity to read through the bill, but it's going to take extremely long if you intend reading all how many pages there are. But you could put section 1, and I think the law advisor would agree with it. That process could also be followed. So I'm not saying you're not right, but...
Let's test the legality of that process.
No, that would be an order, Jefferson. You can say clause 1 with amendments and agreed, not agreed. It would be an order.
Let's test that with the other members of the committee, Honorable Matibela and Honorable Sondo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, are we going to adopt it with the amendment or what?
That's the intention.
Yes, it is the intention. But at times, when they are supposed to correct this, it then comes back with the mistakes here. We once did that, and it was rejected. And it was pointed out to be the bill of the chairperson. So I don't know. Yes, that's what was said by a department. I won't say which department.
Okay. Honorable Sonda?
Chair, for once in a while, I agree with the DA that we should economize on time whilst we are carefully and clinically combing through the bill. We have got the go-ahead from the state law advisor and from members, and I'm sure we'll take note of what Comrade Matibela is saying. The department is here. I saw them nodding. Council for Josias also is here. I
think
also. Thank you, sir.
Committee section.
Thank you, Chairperson. On behalf of the committee section, I would like to advise the committee that it is an approved parliamentary process that a bill you go through it clause by clause. That is to ensure that all amendments are effected. If we look at it per section, sometimes there are omissions. However, it is up to the committee on what they decide on, but we always recommend that the committee goes through a bit clause by clause. Thank you.
That's the proposal, Chair.
Honorable Kulul?
I want to also agree clause by clause. Thank you.
Okay. Don't mean a dilemma. Let's move on. It's not going to take us too long. To rate, agree, disagree. State law advisor?
Chairperson, I don't understand the committee section's input. I mean, what we're saying is you're going to go through the bill clause by clause. Clause 1 includes definitions. It's a clause. It's clause 1. We don't refer to a bill as sections because it's not an act here, so it's... When you look at clause 1, you look at it in its totality. If there are amendments that are effected there, those will be amendments that will be included in the bill when you consider it. So you look at it clause by clause. Clause 1, you would have looked at all of clause 1 and include whatever amendments that need to be included. Clause 2, you look at clause 2, in its totality, and include whatever amendments that need to be included. So for me, that is in order to be.
All right, it's my call. It's not going to be a chairperson's bill. I think if it's legally permissible in the proposed approach, we need then to follow that. Usafruted.
It's a pity that Umkhize walked out. I think he was trying to say the committee section always suggests that we take the clause line by line. Clause by clause.
But we have checked this, whether clause by clause is legally permissible.
I think both are legally permissible.
Okay.
But I think for Parliament to say we've done a good job, I think.
It will be, yeah. No, the intention is to not waste time unnecessarily, especially if there are no major disagreements. I think the House at large says you go to a clause, you raise if there are objections on the amendments that we have dealt with right now. And Honorable Nyakembe?
Thank you, sir. I mean, if I understood correctly, the committee session is not saying it's a rule. He's saying it's an advice that they normally give to committees. So then, if it's not a rule, it's not a parliamentary rule, obviously, then the advice from the state legal advisor, I think it's correct because it doesn't interfere with any rule that exists within Parliament. So therefore, the issue of going to say this clause with the amendment as well as discussed here by the committee, and I think that becomes a correct way of dealing with it.
Okay, let's move on. So we were in the middle of clause one. We're in the middle of clause one, which runs from page two to page three, read with the detailed amendment. Page one, which includes definitions, it includes deletions of exploration petroleum, runs up to page three of the amendment, where in the main also the term reconnaissance operations will be included in the final draft that must be produced. Are there any comments, objections to us adopting that clause one? Great. Let's go to clause two. Again, there with the amendment, where we're removing the term, any reference to petroleum on the bill, and that. Runs within page three. Are there any objections or other comments as we've discussed? Is it agreed to?
Yes.
Clause three on the management board, there are amendments that are contained in the amendment documents, which changes, you know, the number of the board to 13 and delete some of the words which run through to page, the following page, the last sentence number 26 of the amendment stands deleted from the amendment, and therefore the clause 3 will run in terms of the main bill from page 3 through towards the end of page 4. Agreed? Any objections? Agreed to. Clause 4 runs in the main bill from towards the bottom of page 4 and in the amendment there are areas, there are certain provisions that are now being deleted, for an example, promote onshore and offshore exploration right through to expanding the term exploration and the term and the reference to petroleum. Any comments, objections, is it agreed to? Note that in this clause, in clause 4, there will be reformulation of subsection H and in Roman figure 3, where we will be deleting the term exploration, replacing it with the term reconnaissance operation and related matters, prospecting and related activities. So they were expecting a fresh reformulation there. Then we move on to clause 5, which in terms of the amendment document, line 34 on page 6, there is an amendment effected there. There are two amendments that are effected on this clause, which is contained in page 6 of the bill. Any comments, objections, is it agreed to? Thank you. Clause 6, which is contained from the bottom of page 6, through to the top of page 7. Any comments, objections, agreed to? Clause 7, contained in the main bill in the body of page 7. Any comments, objections, is it agreed to? Hey? Can you raise your comments? No, I'm reading from the main bill. Yes, the main bill. This document is supplementary to the main bill. Yeah. Thank you. Is it now agreed, Honorable Mchari? Agreed. Okay, thank you. Clause 8 of the main bill contained in page number 7, and in the supplementary document, there is an amendment effected, and terms and the wording that is included. Any comments? Objections? Is it agreed to? Clause 9, still contained in page 7 of the bill. Any comments? That runs right through to page 8 of the main bill. Any comments? Is it agreed to? Clause 10 contained in page 8 of the main bill. Any comments or objections agreed to? Clause 11 of the main bill contained in page 8 Any comments, objections? Is it agreed to? Clause 12 of the main bill contained in page number 9. Comments, objections? Is it agreed to? Thank you. Clause 13 of the bill. We have said here that there must be a reformulation. I don't see it in the supplementary document. On 13 subsection B, subsection C, Roman figure 1, which reads as thus. In the case of a member, he or she has been absent from more than 2 consecutive meetings of the board without the leave of the chairperson. We've said that that expression does not make either legal or combo or English sense. Without the leave of the chairperson.
Chair, we verified that with the state law advisor's office. They seem to be of the view that it's correctly formulated. Without the leave, if you look at the Oxford Dictionary, meaning it says without notifying, without giving notice, it means precisely that, giving notice to the chair that you will not be in a position to attend the meeting.
So this without the leave of the chairperson?
Yes, means without notifying the chair.
State law advisor?
I agree, chairperson, and it also includes chairperson getting the permission of the chairperson. Because leave includes getting the permission of the chairperson. So you would notify and get the chairperson's permission, chair, or approval.
Because we are not, we are laymen. So if you just read it from that basis, okay, no, that's fine, with that clarity. Okay. Clause 13, with the clarification given, remember that we said again here on in subsection 3 of the same clause, the minister may on good cause show dissolve the board and appoint a new board in accordance with section 9.3. Our difficulty there was there are no time frames set where the minister can just willy-nilly dissolve the board after having shown good cause. And the minister can leave for a year or 2 years without appointing the board. If there's a need legally for this board to be there, it can't be left in the whims of any minister. Today you might have a good minister, tomorrow you don't know. You might have a minister who doesn't want to have board, even though they are legally provided for. So the time frame was an issue that we have raised with you. That it must be within a specified time that board must be reconstituted.
It is a requisite of the PFMA or the compliance issue already that there should at all times be a functioning authority, that is the board should all the time be functioning for the CS itself to be compliant with the PFMA. So that caters for that loophole that the minister would not be compliant with the PFMA. Should it happen that she dissolved the board and there isn't a replacement. So that is catered for in the PFMA.
That doesn't satisfy us.
Yes.
I suppose, Chair, what the CFO is saying is that there's no way, not even one day, citizens are not even allowed to function for one day without the board. There's no way it could ever happen.
You see, when you legislate, you don't legislate on
looking for a very good help on a friendly basis. You legislate, you create procedures and processes that must be followed. So if you want to make reference to PMFA, do so. So that when we do our oversight and we discover that at a particular point there is no board, and when we inquire when was this board dissolved, we are told that it was dissolved 3 months ago or 6 months ago. And yet, you have an example in the department as we speak. The Ministerial Advisory Board has been established in terms of the MPRDA. And when we made inquiries, it's only then that we are told that the board is now being reformulated after more than 6 months of it being dissolved. So if you say there's no way that you can operate without, some of the directors are annoyed by the existence of the board. They may want to take decisions on their own and operate. So if there's a need for the board, and yes, we agree, in some instances, the minister may take a decision to dissolve, but then there must be limitations to that power to dissolve. Honorable Schmidt, and Honorable Miyagamba.
Mr. Chair, I think the legal basis for dissolving the board is on good cause show, whatever that may be in a certain circumstance. So that's the legal basis. There must be good cause. But if the MPFMA acts here that there may not be a period in terms of it may not function without the board, one then can bridge that problem by saying the minister may on good cause shown may, remember may, not due to compel, but may, caution dissolve the board and appoint. Now, and may appoint, or should appoint, or could appoint. So the one way of dealing with it in the PMFMA would be say, and must appoint a new board. That then enforces the duty of the minister to, when she dissolves the board, she must then, like even add the word, immediately appoint a new board, whatever, in terms of the PMFMA. But just to explain that, if the PMFMA does state that, to compel the minister, I use the word must. So the word may connotes a discretion. Must does not connote a discretion. Is that true?
Honorable Nyanaman.
Thank you very much, sir. You have partly covered what I wanted to say. Because just to leave it without making a reference to a particular section of the Public Finance Management Act, that will be an open-ended process. So I think it's important in reworking that we need to make reference. So it becomes very clear because if you just leave it, and then you will only quote the Public Finance Management Act if then there is a problem. I'm suggesting that in reworking, we need to make reference to that particular section of the
PFMA. Did you hear the formulation suggested by Honorable Schmidt? Can you rehearse it with us? Can you put off your...
Thank you, Chair. I think the formulation suggested is that after the word and you say and must appoint a new board in accordance. But as far as making reference to other legislation, when you draft legislation, you don't necessarily refer to provisions that are in, like when you discuss, when you refer to access to information, you don't necessarily refer to those sections. Otherwise, you'll end up with legislation that's very, with a piece of law that's very voluminous. So you didn't want to refer to sections, but I suppose we wouldn't be opposed to putting in there and must appoint a new board in accordance with Section 9.3. That might. And must appoint a new board in accordance with Section 9.3. 9.3 meaning of the... Yes.
No, no, not of the PSMA, but of the Act. Yes. So there's no discretion for to take away the discretion of the minister. That will also, I think, assist with the delay that you were referring to, because the minister will then be in obligation to appoint a board, if she must.
Mr. Chair, and the use of the word must immediately appoint a new board?
I think I would, you know, immediately there are procedures that you follow when appointing a board. You wait for nominations, you have to publish an ad in the so immediately will might lead to different interpretations. You wouldn't want to put immediately in the poll. But if you say must, then the minister don't have a discretion. She needs to immediately, I suppose. When you say must, automatically means that as soon as possible.
You see, the clause 9(3)(a) of the Mayor of the Principal Act that you are referring to reads, if a member or an alternate member of the Management Board for any reason vacates his office, the Minister may appoint a person to act in the place of such member or alternate member for the unexpired period of his term of office. Now here you are talking about the dissolution of the entire board.
The cross section to be inserted there would be section 4 of the appointment of the board rather than section 9(3).
Did you see our difficulty here? That's why you hear terms must immediately appoint. It's to curb a situation where you have a long time, you know, where, you know, there will be operations running without the board. So you say section 4, let's see what it reads. The original clause.
It's the appointment of board members.
Okay. With a view to the achievement of the objectives of the country by a management board. So here is the establishment of the board. Yeah, and we don't have a problem with that reference. But then the problem is you had a board and it's been dissolved for whatever reason, as long as the minister has shown good cause. Now, the question is the time frame. State law advisor, your hand was up.
So, listen, I was going to say my reading of the reference to section 9(3) was that whatever board would be appointed would be appointed for the unexpired term of the board that was there. So 9(3) in fact would assist in the minister in deciding on the number of years that the it's sort of an interim. An interim measure to say if a board was appointed for 4 years or 5 years, then for the unexpired term of office of those members, then that's how you appoint the board that will come in.
Measure chair. Then which will then give the minister time to then appoint the whole new board at once the term of that board has expired. It's a stopgap.
Is it related though, because that section refers to an individual board member, assuming that the board itself is still functional. In this amendment, you are providing for the dissolution of the entire board, which does not therefore fall in line with that. That's why I said maybe section 4 would be a good reference. But then what worries us is the time lag between the dissolution and the reconstitution.
Because here in this instance, the minister will be reconstituting a board after having dissolved the initial board. Honorable Schmidt?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I seem to agree with you. When you have two people who learn in the law, you always have two different opinions. But if you look at clause 9.1, it says of the amendment bill, it says a member of or an alternate member of the board, except the chief executive officer, shall hold office for such period, but not exceeding 3 years, as the minister may determine at the time of his or her appointment. So the minister has, by virtue of that discretion, a discretion to appoint for up to a maximum of 3 years any board member. So I think that transient period would probably be dealt with in terms of 9.1 rather than 9.3, which relates to an individual board member having been replaced with another board member, and his term of office will only expire when the minister has initially indicated that it will expire, let's say, after 3 years. I would rather agree with you that the term period should be, or the appointment should be done in terms of clause 4. But that 9.1 relates to, once again, when the minister appoints a new board, she can then determine whether it should be 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, as provided for 9.1.
Honorable Sondag?
Sure, once again, it doesn't go there. Because we're talking about two scenarios here. And the scenario that is before us is a scenario where the minister, on whatever board call that might be, may dissolve the board, there's no board. Now, the safety valve that we need to insert legally through is to say that the minister must not sit on his or her haunches and take a long time to reconstitute the board. This is a reconstitution kind of a safety valve that we're looking for. The length of time between that good dissolution of board and good re-establishment of a board. I mean, that question for you is correct. And that one member who might, for whatever reason, resign or take leave, that one is okay. But on the dissolution, I think Honorable Member Smith came with that formulation, but that was rebutted by way of saying we can't refer to another piece of legislation. Now, I really don't know, because I'm not getting satisfaction in this. You two legal eagles, come on.
Legal advisor? Or you want to confer with each other? We can allow that space.
They're shouting the beat.
Honorable, let's allow the department, the CGS, and the state law advisor to confess. Let's suspend this process for now, just for 2-3 minutes.
Thank you.
What was it? And it was
consultation through? Have you consulted? Can we start? Okay. Honorable members, can you call members who are outside? Ladies and gentlemen, shall we resume our meeting? Back to that clause 13. Let's listen to the department, the CGS, and the state law advisor.
what is the outcome?
Chairperson, thank you. What we're proposing, Chair, is that we put in a clause there, and we hope that will allay the concerns of this Honourable House by suggesting that we say that the Minister appoint a new board in accordance with Section 4 within 30 days. I think that would go a long way in ensuring that there's continuity and certainty, and that there is always an accounting authority and compliance with the Public Finance Management Act. Those appointments can be backdated, I suppose, from the time the board was dissolved, the initial board.
Thank you. I think that addresses the honourable members. Agreed? Good. Let me put back again clause 13 with the amendments that we have just listened to. Any objections, comments? Agreed? Clause 14. Clause 14 in the main bill that runs from page number 9 to the big body of page number 10 with the amendments in terms of the as reflected in the main bill. Any comments, objections, agreed to? Clause 15, as reflected, any comments, amendments, any comments or objections agreed to? Not a lot of it. Clause 16 of the main bill contained in page 10. Any comments? Agreed to? Agreed. Clause 17 of the main bill running from page 10 to 11. Comments, objections, agreed to? Clause 18 of the main bill running from page 11 to the middle of page 11. Agreed? Agreed. Clause 19, contained in page 11 of the main bill. Any comments, objections? Agreed to? Clause 20 of the main bill, stretching from page 11 to towards the end of page 12. Any comments, objections, agreed to? Clause 21 in the main bill contained in page 12, straddling from page 12. Yes, it's page 12. Any comments, amendments, agreed to? Agreed. Clause 22 in page 13. Comments, amendments, agreed to? Clause 23, contained in the main bill in page 13 to page 14, read with the supplementary document, sentence number 37. Let me just agree to that sentence number 37, and it adds subsection 8 of that clause to take care of the concerns that were raised. Agree to? Clause 24 of the main bill contained in page 14.
comments, objections, agreed to? Clause 25, contained in page 14 to 15 of the main bill. Comments, objections, agreed to? Clause 26, contained in the main bill of page 15. Comments, amendments, objections, agreed to? Clause 27, the short title, contained in page 15 of the main bill. Comments, objections, agreed to? Then there is memorandum. The entire page of page 16, agreed to? Agreed. Financial implications, the budget as discussed in clause 6 of page 17. Financial implications, agreed to? Then you have your parliamentary procedures where they are informing us of what happened. Point two under the objects of the bill, in the process of you cleaning it up, there's still reference to exploration.
Exploitation.
Oh, exploitation. Exploration. No, it's exploration in the under the memorandum. Memorandum objects of the bill, clause 2 of the memorandum. There's also reference to petroleum. I think you would be cleaning out those references and any other references that we had agreed upon. Honorable members, we did prepare a report which will be circulated to yourselves. Basically, all what it says, it sketches. We're not done. I know you're coming to the final point. I can read your mind. Now, this report will be circulated to you today. All what it does, it says what these parties that came to do presentation said and captured the proceedings in the main. But there's a section here which then recommends, which deals with recommendations. That's where we'll be coming into. That in this report, we will reflect the recommendations of the committee. Therefore, we're putting the bill in its entirety and its amendment to the House. Are there any objections to the bill, save for what honorable members from the DA have indicated to us initially that they abstain? Are there any other objections in us adopting the entire bill with all the amendments? Honourable Schmidt?
Just for record purposes, we note our abstention.
Yes.
Abstention.
Yeah.
As I indicated before, that with your abstention, we wanted to check if there are any other. But your abstention is subject to your deliberations tomorrow, which I'm going to come to a point now. It might be lifted, you know, at some point. But honourable members, can we get a mover and a seconder to adopt this bill with its amendments? Moved by Honourable Makagule, seconded by Honourable Matimela. All right. What we would want to do, so that we don't leave anything to chance, and also allow the space for parties to go and look at whatever that they need to look at, we want to propose to yourselves that we approach the parliamentary leadership today to request that tomorrow they must allow us a space at 12:30 for a working lunch. We are provided with lunch in a venue that would be agreed upon, where the department would bring to us a cleaned out copy of the bill. We will be looking into that bill, ensuring that word for word what has been agreed upon is dealt with in that bill. The reason is that after that exercise, the bill must go to the House. On Tuesday, I'm told by the committee section, we are scheduled to debate the bill in the House. Therefore, we would need to ensure that out of this process, it comes out having been cleaned out, so that when we debate it there, we know what is it that we're debating. So this exercise will allow us two things. It will allow honourable members from the DA to reflect in their caucus and come back, and it will allow us to ensure that word for word, sentence for sentence, what we have approved here is indeed contained in the final document that we will be submitting to the House, so that on Tuesday we can then express our political decision on the bill when it is being deliberated on. Can we agree, honourable members, on that? Because I wouldn't want to go and approach the chair if that will not be with your approval. Because it's not a scheduled day for us to meet. It's just that because of the urgency of the matter, we would want to then ensure that we dealt with this. Can I get your views on the matter? Honourable Schmidt?
Madam Chair, we don't have any objections to it. Could I just confirm the meeting or the debate you are speaking of is next week Thursday, not tomorrow, next week Thursday. Next week Tuesday. I don't know. I'm asking because I'm not sure what. I thought it.
You're saying, from your understanding, as the committee session is scheduled for next week Tuesday. What will be next week Tuesday? What is the date?
14.
The 14th. Yes. You're saying from. Okay, speak, please.
I wanted to advise the members that it is scheduled for next week Tuesday, the 14th.
Okay. Ministry?
There's been some developments. We spoke to the Deaconess regarding that. Because the minister
said to who?
To Deaconess.
Who's that?
Okay, it's the program's office. And then Lisa will be out of the country and she wants to live in herself. So she asked if we can be dealt with in the next term. So they have a 12th of October, he said.
Chairperson, we attended the chairs of chairs meeting where together with the speaker and the programming whip was there as well. It was indicated that this bill needs to meet the 15th of September deadline in order for it to be referred to the NCOP, because the parliament aims to finalize this bill in the fourth term in the NCOP, because it was reflected as one of the urgent bills that need to be passed by parliament.
That's true.
It's
unfortunate, because the reason why we programmed this bill within this very short and pressure time period was because of that. We were told that the bill must come before Parliament specifically in the week of the 13th to the 17th. It must be debated in the House so that it is referred to the NCOP. So if the Minister would not this time around be flexible, the bill might stand over until not next term. Not next term. It might be towards the end of next year, because we've got other matters that we're dealing with. So we would have to, I think, go back, liaison officer, to refine your understanding. Because if you say, Kiza, when was this meeting? Was it today?
The meeting was last week on Thursday.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Good. In the programming deliberations.
That's correct. And yes.
Okay. All right. Honorable Sondo.
Back to the subject matter. You go to the church and arrange.
Is your thing pressed?
Yeah, it is. You go to the chair of chairs, make arrangements for that working lunch so that we can comb through the bill, having been cleaned, so that we prepare for debating it next week, Tuesday. Thank you.
Excellent. All right. So, department is...